Oh well, a little drama today. But that is a favorite song of mine, so I thought we'd start with that. They're out of Chicago, drummer Isaac Red Holt and bassist LD Young, formerly with the Ramsey Lewis Trio, formed the Young Holt Trio with pianist Don Walker in 1966. They renamed themselves in 1968. Replaced Walker with Ken Chaney and scored a hit with this particular tune that we heard, which really was the instrumental track for Barbara Acklin's monstrous hit, Am I the Same Girl? It sold 1 million copies in less than 3 months and won a gold record in 1969. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we almost didn't have Lead Stories. We had a small electrical problem, namely, landscapers cut an electrical cord somewhere and it had to be patched up. This has happened so many times before. And but look, the main thing is it was fixed and fixed enough in time for us to continue with our program. So it's Free Your Mind Friday, and you know what that means. It means that you are free to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. You shape the conversation and we move ahead. Let's start with Bill from New Jersey. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice.
Hello, sir.
I'd like to talk about Bill Cosby, since
Okay.
that's been kind of the talk this week. The first thing about Camille Cosby's statement, I really think she should be ashamed of herself for
Why?
comparing Bill Cosby to Emmett Till. Are you kidding me? Emmett Till did nothing wrong. He was abducted, tortured, and murdered, and his body dumped. How has that got anything to do with Bill Cosby, who we know for a fact he drugged women for sex because he admits to that? I don't know if he raped any women or not. There's no way for us to know that. But we know that he drugged women for the purpose of sex. So he is guilty of something. He's also guilty of adultery, which, if you're a Christian, I'm not, but if you are, that's a sin. It's disrespectful to his wife, which, as far as I'm concerned, that's also a sin. But to compare to Emmett Till, a young man that was murdered and tortured, you, Bill Cosby, are like that? I don't think so. And I think that is disrespectful to the memory of Emmett Till. And I think she should be ashamed of herself for making that statement.
Why
That's
should
the
I
first.
don't know that she should be ashamed of herself. She's writing
Well,
an opinion in
do you think that
defense of her
the two
husband,
situations are in any way similar? I
well,
mean, other
listen.
than both of them were black men, the two
Wait,
situations
but
aren't similar at
listen for a
all.
second. I understand your point, but here's the other side of the coin. Have you read her statement, by the way?
I listened to your reading of part of her statement, and that was enough for me. I mean,
Okay.
obviously she's biased. Obviously she has an axe to grind. So
Well, it's not about
really,
this is,
whatever.
and let me say this, I'm trying to be very, very fair here. This is not about her having an axe to grind. This is a woman whose husband is probably going to die in prison as a result of a trial. And the reason she wrote her statement was to call attention to the process. Her whole thing was about attacking the process that resulted in the conviction of Bill Cosby. And she's saying, and this is where the comparison with Emmett Till comes in, that it was for Bill Cosby, as was for Emmett Till, a matter of mob justice. That's what she was
No,
saying.
no. And I can't go along with that.
Well,
It's not a
it's not a
matter
matter
of
of whether
mob
we go
justice.
along with it. This is her
Well,
statement.
It's
and
her statement,
statement
and
is
it's her
about
opinion, her biased
the process.
Opinion.
And we were talking about the process.
Well,
The question
it's her
on the
biased,
table when
it's
we
her.
hold a second, Bill. I have to say this. She was talking about the process, and whether we agree or disagree, she has a unique and particular perspective on the process. She compared the process, and this was the point of raising Emmett Till by comparison. She said that it was the same mob process that killed Emmett Till and the same mob process that led to the conviction of Bill Cosby, her husband. And she was very specific about judicial misconduct and prosecutorial misconduct that, in her view, produced a horrible trial in which there was no way that Bill Cosby, even if you think he's guilty, there was no way that he could be said to have had a fair trial. This was mob justice. The women's Me Too movement, the kinds of things that the prosecutor was allowed to get away with. This is a retrial. And the things that occurred within the retrial should alarm us all. That's really what you were saying. I happen to agree with that. I don't know. I still wouldn't say that he got a fair trial. I think there's enough room to question the trial, the procedures that were allowed, the things that were allowed by the judge and the prosecutor. Absolutely not, in my view, a fair trial. The weighing in of the media, she wrote about that, the media attention that this case got and the impact it had and possible jury pool. It's a very technical piece, really. But her main point was, and this is where, you know, you take issue, she's not saying anything except that the common thread between Bill Cosby and Emmett Till is that they both were victims of what she called mob justice.
And I'm going to say that that is a ridiculous comparison because one was abducted.
It's ridiculous to you. You weren't married to Bill Cosby.
Right. And I have my opinion, and she has her biased opinion.
We all have biased opinions. But what I'm saying is, just appreciate what she has said
against Bill Cosby. My call is defending the memory of Emmett Till. That this is not similar. One was abducted.
I understand that you're defending Emmett Till, but I also appreciate
him. Bill Cosby had high-priced lawyers defending him, and he had a day in court, and he could afford the best lawyers, and he had a day in court. Emmett Till didn't have any of that. I mean, there's no comparison between these two situations.
Well, I do appreciate her point of view. No,
I don't.
And I understand. I appreciate that you don't.
I don't.
But I still say that her statement, in my view, insofar as it represents the opinion of the wife of Bill Cosby, who had been able to appreciate certain things about the trial from the inside, it was just her opinion. And we have to respect it as such, even if you disagree. That's what it was. It was her opinion. And her opinion was that in both instances, in the death of Emmett Till, Emmett Till's death was the result, she said, of mob justice. So too was the conviction of her husband the result of mob justice. We are free to agree or disagree, but we cannot condemn it. That's her opinion. And it's as valid as yours and as mine. Thanks, Bill, for your call. getting us started. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Okay. Well, we're on the air. They fixed our disconnection here. That's great.
All right.
You gotta
watch
out for landscapers in Florida.
All right. I wanted to talk about something. I thought I wasn't going to do this, but it's just been on my mind all week. In regards to comments that Mr. Kanye West said about free choice and slavery, I wanted to ask you: Have you saw the video of that, Utrice? Before I go on,
yes.
Okay. So here's my take on it, because it seems
give a little synopsis so that everybody could appreciate it. Kanye West is a popular entertainer, and he made a statement that he sees it that for 400 years of slavery, we should consider the possibility that for many, slavery was a matter of choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it has created a major furor.
Yeah.
So why are you in this furor, Henry?
And I told myself I wasn't going to get in this, but I wanted to just briefly, because it, like I said, on social media, especially with Black folks, it is like a real hot topic. But I wanted to lay my opinion on this, whether he is right or wrong. All right. Most, you know, we get split opinions about, you know, yeah, he was right or he was wrong. The whole fact of the matter is, first of all, this is Kanye West. All right. He's not a historian per se, like a Gerald Horn or a Lerone Bennett Jr. or, you know, anybody of that ilk. So I'm often wondering, why are people so enamored or just like overthinking this thing? Secondly, Kanye West, in a previous interview that he did before he had that video with somebody named Charlamagne, who was a radio host, he said it, he told him that he was on meds. So I'm thinking to myself, was he on meds when he said that? And thirdly, whether his opinion about slavery being a choice or not, you know, what level of choice are we talking about here? Like, you know, basically life or death. And sometimes, you know, is that really a free choice, you know, between life? Because everybody has a choice.
Oh, please. He got you to go there?
But here's the
thing. I mean, you went there
okay, but
for Kanye West?
No.
Henry, listen, I want to say this, and I don't say it casually.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I'm not saying this casually.
Okay, go ahead.
What are you looking at when you look at Kanye West?
When I look at Kanye West, I'm looking at literally somebody who is brainwashed. And I say that because he's doing the will of somebody else. Because when you bring that question up, it almost brings up the level of the old argument of, well, Africans enslaved Africans. Okay, so what does that have to do with the terrorism that slavery had on our ancestors for 400 years? I think that the thing is that I think they're really trying to minimize the this issue of slavery that was here in this country, and it is just,
Way too deep. You are way too deep here. You are taking us way too deep with this issue. You're looking at a person who is unraveling mentally and has mm-hmm. been for a long time.
Uh-huh.
He's permitted these outrageous acts and statements because it's part of the thing. Anything to get attention. Anything to draw people into my realm. This is what Hollywood is. We had a young man, I can't pronounce his name, a DJ, who killed himself with shards of glass. mm-hmm. broke bottles and killed himself. Okay. The issue was that the spectacular way in which he did it was part of his mental breakdown. And I'm not making light of what happens to many people in the industry when they suffer mental problems. If it brings attention, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Kanye yeah. West has been going through, in my view, a public meltdown. And the reaction should be within his closed circles to get this man into some serious treatment, because he is doing things and saying things that suggest he's screaming for help. But in the meantime, he is getting such great attention. Let him be. Leave him, and let's just watch the spectacle of his meltdown. Kanye West is not speaking from an intellectual perspective. He is, you know, he's talking literally out of his mind.
And, that is true.
The main thing is to get this man someplace quiet and see how to rehabilitate him, because he is melting down. He is melting down. He's been on that trend for a long time, getting more and more outrageous.
And that is true, Yatrice. But, you know, the problem is that, and I, you know, just talking to you about it, I even fell into it about what he said and not what's going on with him. It's like a lot of people who, and some people who I think is very intellectual about certain things, are talking about his comments. And it's like, oh my God, you know, why? And just what you said to me a few minutes ago, why are we thinking about this so deeply?
This is a thing that we have seen. This is the latest reiteration of his mental breakdown. This is not something new. He's not being especially intellectual. He's not being intellectual at all.
Exactly.
So what we need to do is to insist, just like the president. The president has been having a mental problem throughout his short presidency so far, and you see the gradations of his deterioration, but nobody would drag him off to a clinic and say, look, we appreciate that you won the election. We appreciate you're president of the United States, but you also pose a threat to the nation and to yourself. You've got to be put someplace where people can work on you and bring you back to some degree of mental health. Kanye West has been deteriorating publicly, and it's a public spectacle. But the fact is that this is a man in the midst of a downward spiral, and he has been giving hints all these different times when you know, these outbreaks occur. And he has learned to do that because that's the new way now of him to get attention. He's not expressing an intellectual opinion here. He's just saying, okay, this ought to get him going. And guess what? It has gotten us going. The media seized on it, and it's become a very obscene spectacle. But we are encouraged to interpret this as a person making a controversial statement based on his interpretation of historical fact. That is so wrong. That is so not it. This young man needs help. Big time. The industry somehow has fed into his madness. And it becomes a very sick cycle that we are watching self-immolation here. This young man is disintegrating. He's sending all the signals that he needs to be taken away to a safe place where he can begin to heal, and people can help him recenter himself. And this is the tragedy of it. So I say, you know, we should instead have a general call, a general appeal. Please take this young man away from this arena and see to his health. That's the problem. He's deteriorating and using increasingly absurd ways to gain attention. But he actually is in a state of psychological meltdown and has been for some time. We choose, the industry chooses, I should say, to use this as a way to keep him alive as a persona in the industry. Even if it means feeding, you know, the public these outrageous tidbits and causing us to interpret things as if they are literal. No, they're not. These are not literal things at all, except as signals of how far down he's going. And the compassionate thing here to do would be to have a massive intervention of all the people who say they are his close friends. Get him off the stage. Go get that hook from the Apollo. Give him the hook. Take him off the stage and get him the help that he needs.
Well, Beatrice, thank you for thank you for saying.
Thank you. Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Beatrice. Can you hear me?
It's a kind of a lot of echo.
Yeah, you seem to be breaking up. I don't know if it's me or you. I'm not sure. But I'll just go along. I'll just keep trying. Hope all is well, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you.
My local congressman this past week had a town hall meeting, and I decided to go to it.
We probably would have a very hard time listening because there's something technical happening on your end. You sound muffled, not the usually clear sound that we have. Maybe you have landscapers where you are too. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Beatrice.
Hello.
Hi, Beatrice.
Hello.
How are you doing, Gwen?
I'm up to my neck in dishes because I redid my kitchen. so half looks like Better Homes and Garden, and the other half looks like Better Homes and Ghetto. But anyway, I'm coming to your house next. I'll get the air conditioning fixed, all right?
Telling you.
I wanted to talk to you about Bill Cosby because, first of all, I am from Montgomery County. Second of all, Norristown is right next to where we live. And I don't know where the original trial was, whether it was in Philadelphia or in Montgomery County, but Norristown is a very white, working class neighborhood. And I'm pretty sure they supported Trump. So when they said that he was that he got a trial by his peers, he really did not get a trial by any of his peers. It was a great place to put him if you wanted to get a guilty verdict. I am sure of that. And I was saying to my friend Lawrence that I'm pretty sure had it gone to Philadelphia, the actual city proper of Philadelphia, that maybe things would have come out differently. And I agree with you. I don't know whether he is guilty or innocent, but I got to tell you something. When Harvey Weinstein is going to therapy, right, for like the rest of his life, and he was a violent criminal. But Bill Cosby, who's almost 80 years old, is going to go and spend the rest of his life in jail. I think that this was what you call a racist frame up. I really, really do. I just don't think there's any coincidences here. And I am not advocating for, you know, dropping Quaaludes in people's drinks. I'm not advocating for rape. I'm a victim myself. So I've been there and done that. But when we pick, as usual, as we pick and select who's going to get punishment, then there really is no justice. If we don't have a linear of justice that's all going in the same direction, then I don't think we have experienced justice. And I felt very uncomfortable. I had a few friends that texted me, and I didn't comment back because I felt, I felt kind of offended. I wondered if they even knew that. I mean, it's not just his case. It's that my husband was also black, and that there was a lot of violence. His brother was shot in the back of the head, execution style, and killed by a policeman in 1963. And so maybe my experience is different than theirs, but it just seems that there's no coincidences here. And it just seems that he had to be taken down because he was very successful. A lot of people liked him, and we can't have something like that happening, you know? And I just feel, I feel like Camille feels. I do feel that way. I'm, you know, I don't care what people think. I actually really feel that way. I feel very bad. I can't talk about it. My parents and I couldn't watch it on TV. It was too upsetting. And, you know, I mean, they destroyed him. I mean, today they took him out of the actors, whatever. And is this, I think we as women have to ask ourselves, is this what we really wanted? It, you know, because how is this 80-year-old guy going to jail for the rest of his life and decimating all the other things he did? How is that going to make justice happen? I don't know. So I too feel very uncomfortable. I don't know how you feel, but I don't feel comfortable with the verdict, and I certainly don't feel comfortable knowing that it was in Norristown, because I know 10 to 1, almost everybody there is of the same ilk. You're in Trump country, so need I say any more? Or would you like to talk about Trump a little bit?
Oh, I see. I'm still stuck where I was at the very beginning. I am, in that sense, a fundamentalist. What are the fundamentals here? And could we take a look at that and see what connections they have to the outcome? What were the fundamentals of this trial?
I have to be honest with you. Go ahead.
You know, and how did the trial and the architecture of the trial, could we give it a pass? Or do we just ignore all these irregularities that occurred?
No, you can't ignore them. How
can
you bring five? There were five people that got to come in the second time around that couldn't come in the first time around. Five witnesses.
Yes.
She asked for 11 the first time around. She got one. Now, you're bringing all these other people in for all these different accusations of crimes. So, no, I don't know how that happened. And actually, Allard herself said she didn't know how it happened. She said she was very surprised and shocked, but pleased at the outcome. And, you know, even when it comes to you know, Gloria Allard, I have to take issue with her, too. I mean, she sent her daughter out to the first thing they did was they defended Harvey Weinstein. From the first day, they were out there on the forefront, you know, trying to soften the blow, and she was going to defend him. And then finally, she couldn't defend him. But really, I don't know. I would tend to believe the women that were coming to her about Harvey Weinstein. I probably would not have believed him. There were an awful lot of women coming out, and there was an awful lot of women that were in very high places that risked their reputations and their acting career to you know, talk about Harvey Weinstein. And yet she didn't believe it. When she first came out, they did not believe it. And I got to tell you something, too, about Gloria Allard. She knows about the rape case that Donald Trump raping that 13-year-old girl. And I have that case in my house. Jane Doe, she was picked up at the Port Authority. I'm brought back to Jeffrey Epstein's house, who only served 13 months in prison for sex trafficking. And he's a big sex trafficker in New York City. Him and Trump fought over her, and Trump finally got her. The girl protested. He slapped her in the face. He said, "You'll do whatever I say." She was threatened for years after that, if she ever opened her mouth, that Trump would take down her whole family. Now, I sent the case to Rachel Maddow 5 times before the election, and they opted at NBC not to put that case on. They talked about every other case except for that case. I wonder why. Is it because Bill Clinton also frequented Jeffrey Epstein and Pedophile Island? So I think that, you know, it's very interesting where we meter out justice. And even though I am not for dropping Quaaludes in people's drinks, I think some of these things happened in the 1970s. And even, look, I don't advocate any of this, but I know stuff happens. And I know that in the 1970s, drugs were very, you know, people were a lot looser than they were with drugs and things like that. And I'm not justifying it. But I think if you're going to start metering out justice, I'd like to see something that looks like justice. If Harvey Weinstein is not going to prison, then I don't think Bill Cosby should have to go to prison either. That's it. That's the end of the story.
And it shouldn't really be a case of comparison in that sense. Every case should be
maybe,
on
maybe
its
not,
own
but I think
adjust.
It jumps out to people.
Every
I mean, even Trump is not. Even Trump's not going to go.
A just
even,
case. So
right.
What I'm advocating is that we take our time, and we look at these different components, and we will see how many things are factored into the outcome. We see it, and therefore, we won't rush to a judgment about, oh well, he's guilty. Well, look, you know, if it came to it, and we were to go on biblical terms, Jesus was guilty, okay? Because people just did not intend to have a fair case. They just didn't intend it.
Right.
So
I agree with you.
We have to take a case by case analysis and see how the different pieces fit or were made to fit in order to arrive at a predicted outcome. And that's all I'm saying. Let the chips
and on that, and on that, I think we should be comparing. I really do think we should compare these case by case and look at them side by side and see what happened in one case and what happened in the other. I do think it's important.
Well, the reason you can't, you have to limit that is because every case has its own unique circumstances.
It's
and,
true.
You know, there's a reason why a guy runs into a pole. And another guy runs into a pole, but for entirely different reasons.
Yes, but just
so we have to appreciate. Circumstances of each case.
Okay, but leave you with this because.
Go ahead.
Jail because he suffered from affluenza. I mean, give me a break. He killed 5 people in a car, and he was suffering from affluenza. And that's why those comparisons are needed, because people like that should also go to jail. The law is the law, no matter who. And if it's not, I mean, that was the extenuating circumstance in his case. He was so rich, he didn't know what he was doing. I'm not really sure I buy that. As a matter of fact, I know I don't buy that.
Well, you know you don't buy that. But would you be surprised to know that there are many people in that community who bought that?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all that they bought it.
and since these cases are held in communities, yes, as outrageous as that defense is, it made sense to many people in that community.
Right.
Because they're suffering from affluenza, too.
Right, right. Well, I just don't feel like...
So we have to.
I don't feel like you got a fair trial.
You have to look, but we should look very carefully at all these different elements.
Let's keep looking.
And how they worked together, and even separately, to produce the result. And this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the program, with Bill from New Jersey, saying we have to be open to the different circumstances existing. For these two different cases, many of the things they have in common, but many of the things they do not. And we have to be open to what it is that we don't expect and appreciate how they figured into the final verdict. Thanks, Gwen, for your call. Willie from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah, are you intrigued?
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Willie.
I just want to revisit that. That's just a pretext, my sister. For those who understand what I'm saying, they're getting ready to make their final move. That's all. And if you go back and look into the history, they've always done that. Paul Robeson, you name them. They've built the black actors up to fame, all the fame in the world, all the money in the world. Then you strip them of that fame, disgrace them, and throw them back to us. That's all that is. Just all you have to do is look at history. Now, you have some Negroes who will tell you, invent and create all kind of reasons to justify what they do to this brother. But just think about this. Remember you, yourself, when they got up, and Negroes want the same Negroes who are demonizing this brother are the same Negroes that wanted to kill you. So I just listen. But to those who can understand and see what I'm saying, this is just a pretext. The final one is to come. But let them try it. And we will see. Simple. I mean, it's not an action of our own. It's what the weather is going to do to this country we call America. Go ahead and make your move. I know you got Trump. And he's dumb enough to make that move. Clinton and I've been watching. See, Utrecht, the PRN, you see the station? Let me tell you something. We must support the station and the programmers. And I think we should have mailboxes for each program, because the kind of information they're putting out, there's no place else you could get it. So we have to do this work ourselves, because you guys are doing the best you can, and it's good enough for everybody. All right? Hello?
Okay. Yes, I'm listening to you.
I just can't believe the kind of information. I thought WBAI was an informational station, but you have to spend time listening to this. Yeah, and you have to send over Facebook all your friends over and over, and then you beat them over the head. Did you listen? Did you? And you question them every day. Antagonize, because people have to get this information out to everybody.
Well,
so we could change.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for your pitch. You're making a pitch.
No, it's not.
For support of the station, and it's necessary, really. And it is very, very helpful.
This is something we
have
to do.
But as a listener, you take that position.
This is something we have to do if we want to survive. We have to do this because we have the first thing that we have to do is educate the people. We already have that. So now if each of us do a little bit, none of us have to do a lot. It's very simple. But we have to go to work, some serious work, because Gary is doing some serious work. All right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Love you, my
thank
love
you
my
so
sister.
Much for your call.
Okay.
Thank you so much for also urging among listeners that, you know, we take a little bit more interest in the stability of the station by making a financial contribution and to keep the station going. Thanks so much for that. And this is a point that I know Willie constantly harps upon, that it is the duty of all of us to do whatever we can to keep the station going. Thanks so much for that. That brings us to the end of our program today. Such great opinions and thoughts And I consider this the best company that one can have, to be in your company, thinking minds. Thinking minds. This is great. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Alternative Visions with Dr. Jack Rasmus. And have yourselves a very calm, restorative weekend with people who energize you and who are in your corner as you are in theirs. And we'll see each other Monday. And take care so much. I thank you so much for being a part of this audience. I really consider it an honor and a privilege to share this time with you. Bye-bye.